Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Gospel according to Luke, we're in chapter 11, and we're beginning in verse 14. This is God's word. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, "I will return to the house I left." When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. Now, one greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are bad, your body is also full of darkness. See to it then, the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. God came to earth. These people were in the presence of Almighty God, and they were oblivious to the truth of what was going on. They didn't realize who they were dealing with. And so in the first part of our text today, Jesus was bringing deliverance and healing to a man who had been bound by an evil spirit that prevented him from speaking. Does that mean that everybody who's deaf or mute is that way because of a demon? No, but are some physical afflictions an attack of the enemy? Absolutely. And Scripture illustrates that in many places. So Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute, and when the demon left, the man who'd been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. No one could deny that a miracle had taken place. But some of them, rather than recognizing from what had happened that they're dealing with God incarnate in Jesus Christ, instead, they tried to attribute it to evil. It's a trick. This is being done by the power of the prince of demons. Beelzebub, this ancient mythological deity, is the prince of demons. Well, obviously, even though those people didn't call him by the right name, they're talking about Satan, Lucifer, who is indeed the prince of demons. But guess what? He's simply a fallen angel. He is himself an evil spirit. He is not the other side of the force. God is infinite and eternal. He has always been and always will be. He has all power and authority, and he has tolerated the activity of a fallen angel, Lucifer, Satan, here Beelzebub, but Satan is not in charge. And although he would have his way when Jesus was nailed to the cross, it would turn out that the consequence of his apparent victory was his own defeat. Because everything that stood against us was nailed to that cross. And so when these people say, well, he must be doing this by the power of Beelzebub, Jesus points out that what they are suggesting would, in fact, spell Beelzebub's doom. Because if a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. By the way, when he said that, he wasn't just telling the people something. He was announcing something to the forces of darkness, and that is, you know your days are numbered. And so some said, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. But others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. What had they just witnessed? A man who was mute, who could not speak because of an evil spirit. Jesus cast out the spirit, the man speaks, everybody's astonished. But instead of worshiping the Lord, they want more. Do another one. Let me see another sign. So first, Jesus responds to those who were accusing him of doing what he did by the forces of darkness. Jesus knew their thoughts, verse 17, and he said, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? Because the Jewish people also attempted to cast out demons. They had exorcism rituals. And he says, so then, they will be your judges. Because if you say that when a demon is cast out, it's because of the work of demons, then you're condemning your own followers, and they're not going to like that. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, verse 20, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Again, do you realize what you're dealing with? Do you realize what you're looking at? When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. Jesus says the reason the demons are being cast out is because someone stronger than the prince of demons has arrived on the scene. The reason why these miracles are happening is because of who Jesus is. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. It is impossible to be neutral when it comes to Jesus. Back in chapter 9, verse 50, you had the flip side of this. It also had to do with exorcisms. The disciples were upset because there was a man who wasn't one of them, but who obviously was a believer, a follower of Jesus, who was driving out demons. And they, because it wasn't one of them doing it, they said, Jesus, we told him to stop. Jesus said, don't tell him to stop. If he's not against me, he's for me. And here he says, if someone's not for me, he's against me. What do we learn? Tons of people say that they're just not sure. You know, I'm not saying there is no God. I'm just saying I don't know. Well, you know, if you don't know, you really ought to find out. Because there isn't anything more important. And yet, pretend intellectuals spend years just sort of floating around thinking that they're being neutral. They're not being neutral. They are opposing the obvious truth. They do not want to believe, and that's why they don't believe. Jesus says they are against it. And Jesus is right.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. Let me make a couple of points regarding that paragraph. First of all, demons are real. And Jesus says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, that's reality, not mythology. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I'll return to the house I left. What's the house I left? The man. It came out of the man. I'll return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. What does that mean? It means that you can't just get rid of evil in your life and have nothing. Nature abhors a vacuum. Something is going to fill your mind. Something is going to fill your life. You are either going to be yielded to the Lord or you are going to be yielded to the enemy. You are either a part of the kingdom of God or you are a part of the kingdom of darkness. And the question as to which kingdom you're in has everything to do with who's your king. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Because that's what determines whether or not you're a Christian. Not do you believe that there is a God, Even the demons believe that and tremble. The question is, are you yielded to the Lord who is the Lord of glory? Or are you still trying to be your own boss? Are you still trying to have it your way, do your thing? You know, you want God's help. You pray from time to time. And you know, you don't want to be against him. You just don't really want to be for him. You don't want to be yielded to him. You'd like to keep the house clean. Jesus says it's impossible. You are either for me or against me. He who is not with me is against me. And he who doesn't gather with me scatters. I've had parents say, you know, how do you make sure your kids don't fall away when they get to college? Well, your kids who go to college are either going as missionaries or they are a mission field. You can't be neutral. If you are not yielded to Jesus Christ, you are extremely vulnerable. And let me just tell you, the devil doesn't look at young people and say, well, it really wouldn't be right to attack them. They're young. They haven't made their mind up yet. No. Until a person cries out to the Lord for mercy and receives new life, that person is already in bondage. They are already subject to the forces of darkness and the kingdom of darkness, doing the things that those evil spirits lie to them and tell them they ought to do. And if you listen to the tempter, see, Eve heard what the serpent said, believed the lie, and wanted what he offered. Instead of saying, no, I trust God. He said, don't do that. I trust him. It was like, oh, so God's holding out on me? And that does look good. And it's good for food? And it'll make me wise? She believed the lies, and it caused her to act on an impulse in a way that brought death. So, Jesus says, and we need to hear, that the final condition of that man is worse than the first. A person might get over this problem. I got help. I got detoxed. I got out of this problem. But if they don't yield themselves to the Lord, they're just an empty target for the enemy. And that spirit will come back with more evil spirits, and the end of that person will be worse. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus replied, "You are right. I've got the best mama in the world. All generations will call her blessed." Is that what he said? He said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Is Mary, the mother of Jesus, a wonderful example whose name should be considered blessed? Yes. Why? Because of her response to the word of God. When the angel said to her, God is going to give you the privilege of bearing Messiah, she said, may it be unto me according to thy word. That was her response to the word of God. She embraced it. And therefore, she is blessed. And we who embrace the word of God and yield to it, believing what God says and trusting that his way is right, we are blessed as we do so. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Well, then, some of them had said, you know, we want to see more signs. We want to see more miracles. Jesus said, verse 29, this is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. What is the sign of Jonah? The fact that Jesus was going to die and be buried and rise again from the dead. Just as Jonah was swallowed by the great fish and then spit up on land and went and preached what he was supposed to preach to the Ninevites. Jesus knew that he would be crucified, that he would rise again on the third day, and that still the majority of people would not accept who he is. Despite that sign, and so Jesus says, because you're a wicked generation, because your hearts are evil, you're going to reject the ultimate sign, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're going to reject Jesus despite the ultimate sign when he conquers death. Now, we've spoken before about how many people have set out to disprove Christianity by trying to disprove the resurrection only to become Christians. Because when they really dig in and look at the evidence is overwhelming. Jesus rose from the dead. So, Jesus says at the judgment, you're going to be in serious trouble, you who don't believe, because the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, will rise at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up and condemn this generation, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. Again, they're not recognizing who Jesus is. And Jesus says, that's why you're going to be in trouble. You've been confronted with the ultimate evidence, and you're still not going to believe. And so beginning in verse 33, Jesus talks about, if your eyes don't work, you're going to be in the dark. But it's not because there's no light. It's because of a problem with you. If you're looking at evidence and you decide, ooh, that makes me uncomfortable, and so you close your eyes to it, it isn't that the evidence went away. The problem is deliberate, willful blindness. Let me ask you this morning, do you prefer the darkness? Would you rather not know the truth? Would you rather not think about it right now? Because you don't really want to yield your life to Christ. I don't know how much time any of us has, but I do know this. Jesus is speaking to you today and saying, trust in me. Yield your life to me. I love you so much, I gave my life for you. Don't be afraid to yield your life to me. What'll it cost you? It'll cost you everything. You need a new life, not just an improved one. But if you yield yourself to him, if you say, Lord, have your way, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, in my life, in my home, in my relationships, in my finances, in my schedule. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. If you will do that, you will discover that indeed God's will for you is good and acceptable and perfect.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.